Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hey, it's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm not Wendy Ying from Sarasota, Florida, and you're listening to the Horses in the Morning show on the Horse Radio Network for August 7th, 2012, episode 483. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World. Just play the music.
Get on with it. I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a surprise. I need some horsing around.
Well, good morning, everybody. Jamie is out today. She's off at a show competing, and I think we might have Wendy here.
Hi, Glenn. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, that is an awful connection.
I know, it is awful. I'm going to go try something else, and then I'll call back in later. Does that sound good?
All right, Wendy's having a tough time here this morning finding a good connection down there in Sarasota. Apparently, the internet is hard to... It's hard to find down there in Sarasota, and the phone connections are even harder.
They don't have technology in Sarasota, Florida.
We've been working on this for a half an hour now and haven't come up with much luck as far as getting her back on the show here. Well, we hope that Dr. Wendy Ying will be joining us shortly, my co-host from the Driving Radio Show. In the meantime, I guess you have Jennifer and I. Jamie's off at a show today. She has headed over. I don't even know what show it was. Do you remember?
Oh, I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember the name of it. All I know is it's the first training level. I know that.
Yes, first training level. And you know when Jamie goes to shows, there's always stories. So I'm sure we'll hear about those on Monday.
I can't wait.
Always interesting stories from Jamie. Well, what's coming up on today's show, Jennifer?
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, prepare yourselves, folks. This has just been a preview. Because today's show features the reigning king and queen of on-air ADD sufferers. Dr. Wendy Ying is in the co-host chair, we hope. And first rider on the topic Friday merry-go-round is Dottie Ewing from HRTV with What's Hot on the TV network for horse sports. And is galloping elegantly across the arena carrying a 7-foot wooden lance, doing dressage in a Portuguese gaucho outfit and racing at top speed through a trail course are your thing. Gene White of the Working Equitation USA Association is about to become your new best friend.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. I'm going to do two daily whinnies for you today. My first daily whinny goes out to Samantha Clark of the Eventing Radio Show because it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Samantha. You know what? We're always getting younger. Just keep that in mind. You and I, we're the only two that get younger every year. Samantha and I.
There's a story about it that it doesn't end well.
That's true. And my second Daily Winnie is a good luck to our listeners, Lisa and Scott, because they are getting married today. Congratulations to the two of you. I think they're up in Michigan, actually. And I think we met Lisa before down in Kentucky. And Scott, I think Scott was along also. So congratulations, guys. Have a great day. I know you're not listening to the show this morning, but Lisa will catch up. She'll be listening later on the podcast. So she's we're glad to have them as listeners, and good luck.
Hope Let's hope they're not listening today. If they're listening today, that doesn't bode well.
I don't have the wedding music. I need like wedding music. What can I do? In place of wedding music, it's sort of like this too. Off to the races, guys. Lisa and Scott are off to the races. I don't know. I get that. That's about all I have for wedding music. So
that's what you got.
Well, let me check and see if this caller is Wendy. Wendy, are you there?
I'm here. How's this?
That's a little bit better. Let's try
it. Sorry.
Well, how are you
doing?
That's
the price you pay from living in the country, I guess.
In the country, along the beach in Florida.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think when we had Isaac come through, I think our phone line was damaged.
Okay. Yeah, because that phone line was terrible.
Yeah, and so our DSL has been really slow, and I think that's what happened. So thanks, Verizon.
Well, it's good to have you on. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a while since you've been on the morning show.
Yeah, it has been, and thanks so much for having me. I love the morning show. I listen all the time.
Well, let's do your Daily Winnie. I did mine. Now it's your turn. So I'm going to play the music.
Well, my Daily Winnie is to my friend and my new PA, Kathy Madonna. And some of you may know Kathy Madonna as being the secretary of the National Drive in Lexington, Kentucky. And she recently relocated to Venice, Florida, which is just down the road. And, you know, I have been traveling a lot and doing a lot of things with horse shows and stuff. And she, I mean, I could not leave the farm without Kathy. She does everything. She's a pairs driver. She's totally organized. She's great. So my Daily Winnie's out to Kathy. Thank you so much.
Okay, right there says it all, Wendy. Totally organized. And that's the exact opposite of you and I. So perfect.
Yeah, exactly. She's like my coach, Jen.
Jennifer worries anytime Wendy and I go somewhere together to do an appearance or something because she knows that chances are we just won't get there.
No, because we might find something interesting to do on the way.
That's right, exactly. And you know, GPSs, who listens to those? So, you know, it's probably good that we don't do that too often. Hey, I wanted to mention that there's no really bad ads today because Jamie is out. We'll have those back again next week. And Wendy just got back from a trip to Europe. Tell us a little about that.
Yes, I did. Actually, I went as the USEF team vet for the Para Driving World Championships. That was in Breda in the Netherlands. And it was held in conjunction with the Dutch National Four-in-Hand Championships. So it was very, very exciting to go and do that and see some shows in Europe, which I haven't done much of that. But just the amount of driving there. I mean, they had like 40 four-in-hands for horses and ponies. And then to see all the para drivers was really exciting and inspiring. So it was a great time.
And you said there was a riding event going on there too, and you got to meet up with Karen O'Connor was there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, at this show, it was like a huge show, like a giant trade fair, and they also had three-day eventing. I think they had a two-star and a three-star, and Karen O'Connor was there with a new horse, and they also had show jumping and dressage. So there were four FEI disciplines at this show.
Wow, that must have been packed.
It was jam-packed. There were thousands of spectators, and you know, here in the United States, really only Live Oak is the show that we have that amount of spectators. But here, because there were so many eventers, show jumpers, and, you know, they make it like a family affair there in Europe. It's like a day out for the family, and they're very supportive of equine sports over there. So besides the competitors and the, you know, families of the competitors, you also had local townspeople coming out. So it was really exciting. It was a great atmosphere. And Karen even came out and was cheering on our para drivers, so that was exciting. So it was great.
Now, who dominates in the para-driving world? Obviously, para-equestrian, we just found out who dominates there, and that's Great Britain, England does. What about para-driving?
In para-driving, the Netherlands and Germany are very, very strong, as is Belgium. And also, those people are competing with their own horses. For the United States, we usually lease horses because it's just too expensive to bring everything over. So, you know, if you have to catch ride a horse in a week, that's you're at a bit of a disadvantage. Someone driving their own horse. So.
Well, are you still there? Oh, I think Glenn just left the room.
Oh.
We have it all to ourselves, Wendy.
Oh, well, so
we have it all. So when you went over, was the crowd of spectators more than you expected?
Yeah, it was actually huge. It was actually really huge, the crowd. And they would run from hazard to hazard, you know, following their favorites. Obviously, the reigning world champion, Yves Bron Chardon, is one of the local favorites, too. So it was a huge crowd following Chardon. And his son, Bram, who's also a pony four-in-hand driver, and he's the reigning pony champion for four-in-hand. We had a big crowd following him, too. So that was exciting. There were a lot of orange shirts running around the fields.
Did you meet up with Chester Weber while you were over there?
No, Chester had already come home. His championship was the week previous, and that was at Riesenbeck. And actually, Chester, we are very, very proud of him because he won the silver medal, and also that helped to get the U.S., the team bronze. And his team was Jimmy Fairclough and Joe Yoder. So they did a great job over there. The United States has been doing really wonderful in international competition this year, and we have the singles driving world championships coming up in Portugal, not this weekend, but next weekend. So we're hoping we have a strong showing there also.
Now, and of course, what we're talking about, Chester Weber was competing, got the silver medal in the World Driving, Four-in-Hand Driving Championships, correct?
Yep, the World Four-in-Hand Driving Championships, which is, you know, that's really the top of the top. You know, that's like, you know, driving a horse team is the most competitive and challenging thing you can do in driving. So, I mean, for him to get the silver medal was incredible. So we're all very, very proud of him.
You know, if you've never had the chance, and I've said this before, but it's so true. If you've never had the chance to go see a marathon phase of a driving competition, especially when there's four in hands or pairs involved, you have to see it once, because if you like eventing on the cross country, you're going to love this, because it's very exciting stuff. It is really exciting stuff. And Wendy, you've done that.
So
you know how exciting it is from the driver's seat.
Yeah, and I think that's what I really love about multiples driving is that, you know, when you ride or you drive single, it's you and your horse, and it's a great partnership. But the more horses you get, like pair or team, it's really like a sport of concentration, and it's almost like you have to wonder what everybody's doing, their personalities. You have to manage the people on your carriage. So it's really like sailing a big sailboat. But everybody has their job, and you have to manage that. And it's very fun and challenging. And if you actually make it through, it's very rewarding.
And when you don't, it can be very exciting.
Yeah. And when you don't, it ends in disaster. So, but that's probably the fun of it, too.
Now, you were actually the person on the back on one of the trips around during this show, weren't you?
Yeah, I did. At the last minute, they had a change of navigators, and I had to go on with Pam Johnson. And she was driving a borrowed horse from Coast to Rond, and that horse is usually an indoor horse, meaning he does the World Cup. I don't know if you've ever seen the indoor series of the World Cup, but it's four in hand, and it's kind of like a modified, it's like show jumping. And they just wanted somebody that was a little bit more experienced with driving to go with this horse because he was so fast. You know, because he was used to running at such a high speed. And Pam did a great job. She was really super. And the horse Knight was just fantastic. It's a nice riding type KWPN. Like, just
now, you, is it, I know you prefer driving better, but being the navigator on the back, the person that's jumping around like a nut, that must be thrilling in itself, isn't it? Which is scarier?
Well, you know what? I think probably navigating is scarier. I know I get more anxious navigating because I feel a lot of pressure for my driver. I want to make sure I know everything so that I can give them the best chance of doing well. And when I'm driving, you know, if I mess up, like, oh, well, like, you know, I just feel bad for myself, whatever. You know, I did it to myself. But if I mess up when I'm navigating, I really feel awful because now I've messed up the driver.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because you're responsible for them, basically. You're guiding them through, and you truly are navigating back there, aren't you?
Yeah, and because a lot of times the gates come up so fast, especially when you're going at advanced speeds, that the driver has to focus on driving. And so the navigator is making sure you're doing everything like that. You made all your gates because, you know, we weave through this little maze and there's gates like A, B, C, D, E, and you have to go in order. So I have to make sure that we go the route we want to go, and I have to make sure we stay on the time that we need to go on. And then
This is why I could never do this, Wendy. You walked me through these gates several hundred times at different places, and I could never remember them. I'd need a GPS. I'd have to have a GPS right there with me.
Yeah, then you wouldn't be a good navigator because you have to know it before the driver. You know, you have to know it better. I always have to walk the hazards more when I'm navigating.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't do very well at navigating or driving in competition. Wouldn't be good.
Yes, you would. You'd be great.
It'd be terrible.
I could whip you into shape.
It would be bad. Well, I'm glad you had such a fantastic trip. You were telling me a little bit about the area. It was a very old area. It's a quaint little village from hundreds of years ago.
Oh yeah, oh my God, it was so beautiful. I mean, that's some of the things too is that I grew up in New England, so you know I'm used to these cute little towns. But when you go to Europe, the things are just so old, and the roads are so tiny, and it's just a different world than we're used to in America. You know, like the scale of everything, and it was just really cute and adorable.
And it is different over there because they really do treat their riders, you know, the horse sports are very popular, and the riders are celebrities, much more than they are here, you know, as far as the general populace is concerned.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, when we went back to the hotel on Sunday night, we were watching the local news, and they were interviewing the winner of the Dutch national champion, Yves Braun Chardon. He was on the news for like 10 minutes, like a football or a basketball star would be here.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it's really great. It's really great.
All right. Well, let's get to our... She's on here, and it's Dottie Ewing from HRTV. She comes and chats with us occasionally about things that are going on over there. Good morning, Dottie.
Good morning. How are you, Glenn?
Good. How are you doing?
Just fine. I'm up here in close to Socrates, New York already.
Oh, are you?
Yes.
So you're up there for HIT, which is a little jumping show they do up there where they win a few bucks.
Yeah. I'm just looking. The winner wins $350,000, but the top 20 split up $1 million.
Oh, geez.
Wow.
Jennifer, why did you become a jumper? What was wrong with you?
Yeah, I chose the wrong sport, didn't I?
Jennifer, I hear that you're into driving and you're a veterinarian too. Is that correct?
That's Wendy.
Yeah, that's me, Wendy. Yeah.
Wendy. Okay. Well, you know what I should do is I should tell you before we even talk about HITS, about an event that's going to be premiering on HRTV next Thursday night at 9:00 Eastern in our English Horse Sports Showcase, and that is we have picked up as we always do 5 hours from the Ogden World Horse Festival. and produce them in English for our audience. And the first show to premiere will be next Wednesday night, and it's the Ocken CAIO Driving Marathon.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You might enjoy that. Yeah, you might enjoy that.
I would love that.
Okay. Thank you, Wendy.
I will tune in.
Well, now, you're up at HITS, and, you know, we were joking around, but this is a very big show for in the jumping world. A lot of money at stake here.
Yes. Yes, a lot of money and some really good top-quality jumpers, world-class jumpers. You know, we have people coming in, you know, off the Olympics now. Rodrigo Paseo and Margie Engel are going to be here. So, of course, there's McLean Ward and Tom Minicus. And so we're really excited. There are other top jumpers that have been on the circuit at HITS. You know, they have to earn a certain amount of money to qualify on the HITS circuit throughout the country. Tom Stazieri has that going. And, you know, we have Duncan McFarlane and Dara Kenny and Chris Pratt, who I believe placed last year, too, and so did Duncan McFarlane. So it's going to be a really good show and hopefully a dramatic jump off.
Now, is it a big venue there? It's outdoor, right?
It is totally outdoor. Last year it poured like crazy, and I'm told that it might rain this year, too, but we are luckily under tents, and most people are under tents. There are some open bleachers as well. It is in a field, and so it has the appropriate mud, but it will be fine. Everyone's very festive. The press tent is all undercover. The hospitality tent is undercover. You can make your way without getting too wet, and we just feel sorry for the riders that are pouring.
The important place is undercover.
Who cares about the riders?
Yeah, the press and the sponsors. That is the important place to come.
That may be very true. You're absolutely right. But we're looking forward to a very exciting event. It will be webcast on HRTV.com beginning at 2 o'clock Eastern this Sunday. We carry it. We're proud to carry it. We're working with the HITS organization on several of their shows, at least three a year. We did the thermal event, the Lamborghini Grand Prix, and we also did the Okawa Grand Prix. So building up, we're taking the largest events on the circuit, and now, of course, this one. And we'll continue to do that for some time. We like the association with the HITS people and the caliber of the jumpers that they get and the quality of their show. So it's been a very good partnership to date, and we'll continue it.
So that'll be at 2 o'clock on this Sunday on HRTV.
On HRTV.com. It is a webcast.
Oh, cool.
And then the production company that's producing the webcast also produces for us an hour-long highlights television show. And we will probably premiere that sometime in October. I have to see when they deliver it. Once they deliver it, then we'll schedule it, a date for it. And we'll keep everyone informed of that as well. But this is a live webcast with all the drama that could happen. And it will cover the entire event as opposed to just highlights.
Well, that's terrific because, you know, there's a lot of us that don't get HRTV where we live, even if we're in a horse capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Still a complaint of mine.
No.
but I can watch it online. That's even better.
Yes. And I would like to offer your viewers a special offer, too, so they can watch it online if they are not already members of HRTV.com. You know, Glenn and Wendy, I extend it to you too, that we have a special offer of a month free if you sign up and use the promo code HRN12, Horse Radio Network 12, HRN12.
Okay. HRN12.
Oh, great. Well, thank you
terrific.
So much, Dottie. I'm going to sign up. That is great.
Good. Well, we'll welcome you. You'll get our little welcome email.
And then we can watch the driving thing then Wednesday night too?
That will be on Thursday night, the following Thursday night in the English Horse Sports Circuit. Yes, of course. That will be carried live on as it, because when you subscribe to HRTV.com, you also get the live TV stream as well as any webcast that might be live. And then thirdly, you get to watch anything that's in our library on a video on demand basis. So for one monthly fee, you get to watch all those things. And so you can either catch the carriage driving, the Ocken carriage driving event live on the HRTV stream, not live in the arena, but as it is carried by our live HRTV screen on Thursday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, or it will be in our VOD library. So if you miss it, you can go back into our VOD library and find it and watch it at your leisure.
Well,
and you
terrific.
Can watch it
great.
Yeah, on your PC, on your Mac, you can watch it on your tablet, you can watch it on your phone. We're totally mobile. We're considered, you know, an across all glass with no additional application, so it's easy to watch whenever and wherever you like.
Well, terrific. Well, this is a lot of fun. Well, I know you're going to have fun up there in New York, and we hope the weather holds out for you, and have a terrific weekend.
Thank you. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you. HRTV. You just, you'll find that at HRTV.com. Or you can go to hitsshows.com. You'll also find it over at hitsshows.com. Well, you see, Wendy, all this money you spend to be a driver, and how much do you guys win at shows?
I know, zero. But in Europe, they win money. In Europe, they win money.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
$1 million?
Not $1 million.
Just checking.
You know, but I'm too afraid to jump that high. You'd have to pay me $1 million to jump that high.
That is part of the problem, is that whole jumping thing, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of the issues. Well, let's take a break here for our title sponsor for today, Kentucky Performance Products. And we'll be back. We have a bunch more guests for you today. We're going to learn about something called working equitation, which I don't know much about, so that'll be a lot of fun. And then we have Angela from Horse Girl TV. She has Horse Girl TV coming on a little bit later in the show. But right now, Kentucky Performance Products. Joint Armor from KPP provides your horse with the building blocks necessary to maintain healthy joints throughout his lifetime. Kentucky Performance Products Quality Assurance provides you with the confidence that you are purchasing a safe, high-quality product. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Joint Armor is concentrated and affordable. One jar lasts a whole 75 days. Joint Armor helps maintain fluid motion and flexibility in your horse's joints. It also supports normal cartilage development and reduces joint deterioration. Learn more about Joint Armor from Kentucky Performance Products and all their other terrific products at kppusa.com. That's kppusa.com. And we thank Karen and the gang over there at KPP for joining us here every Friday. You can also follow them on Facebook. Just search for Kentucky Performance Products. She's always posting cool things over there, and has contests going all the time. So that's Kentucky Performance Products. Check it out on Facebook. I have an update here, Wendy, on another – boy, it's been a tough year for the crop of racehorses this year, coming up injured and lame and everything. Painter, who we talked about on Wednesday – he, you know, has a bad case of colitis and laminitis, as in just was
in
pretty rough shape. Well, they said that as of yesterday morning, the update is that Painter was resting comfortable as you can be with colitis and all the complications of laminitis. So, but Painter's still with us is the good news.
Oh, good.
You know, I didn't realize, and you're a vet, I didn't realize that, you know, first of all, you know, we hear about colitis in people. I don't think about it often. You hear about colic. Is colic, colitis, same thing?
No, colitis is actually, it happens actually a lot longer than you would expect, but colitis is like when they get inflammation of the gut, in the hindgut, right? So they get a lot of diarrhea, and then they get endotoxins that are released, and that's what causes the laminitis. Colitis can be brought on by many different things, but you know, most commonly is from anti-inflammatories, or also sometimes it's from too much acid, like, you know, when they get ulcers in their colon, and then it kills off the microflora in their colon. So you get a lot of diarrhea, and then when you kill off the microflora, then you're going to get the endotoxemia.
Because they said it even can lead to swollen veins and blood clotting and, I mean, all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah, because what happens is all those chemicals, like, they open up the vessels, right? And it causes edema and swelling and thrombosis. It's like an overwhelming septicemia, but it's coming from the gut. And a lot of times it's caused by, you know, if you have to give them a lot of antibiotics and then you have a die-off of the bacteria.
Is that the only way they can really treat this, is with a large dose of antibiotics?
Yeah, and there's a lot of supportive care, a lot of fluid administration, and, you know, with horses, when you get into any disease that involves laminitis as a complication, I mean, that's always, you're treating the laminitis just as much as you're treating the causing disease, you know, because it's just that you can lose them so fast from that, from laminitis. And you're trying to save their career as the sport horse. So, you know, you treat it like any other disease that involves laminitis, but then also you have to treat the infection in the colon or what the inciting thing is that's causing the inflammation. I don't know in this case what it was, but.
Yeah. Do they ever come back? I mean, can, if you have laminitis, a horse has laminitis, are they ever going to come back and compete at any level?
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of horses that have miraculous stories, but, I mean, it's hard to tell what, it, when you have a rotating and sinking coffin bone, your prognosis is very grave for even living, you know? So,
right.
I mean, it's all dependent on the severity, and then different horses recover differently. Like, if you have a horse that's willing to lay down and protect themselves, then you have actually a much better chance of coming back from laminitis. Or like a lighter horse, like ponies, sometimes they have a better chance because they're little, not so much weight tugging on the lamina. But if you have a horse that just won't lay down, it's like, you know, won't, you know, maybe you have one that doesn't like to be in a stall or whatever, nervous, anxious, then won't rest himself and has laminitis. I mean, that's like a really bad case scenario.
Well, let's wish the best for Painter. I mean, as I said, this crop of horses this year that we've had in the thoroughbred world have just had some horrible luck. So we're hoping that Painter can hang in there and if nothing else, can retire to a comfortable field somewhere in Kentucky. So
right.
let's hope for that. Well, you want to introduce our next guest?
Sure. Our next guest is Jean White, and she's from Working Equitation USA, and she's going to tell us about what she does. So welcome, Jean, to the show.
Why, thank you. I appreciate being here.
So tell us about Working Equitation. This is something that's pretty new to me, and but it looks exciting and fun. So tell us a little bit about your sport.
It is a very fun sport and can be very exciting. Is this Wendy?
This is Wendy, yes.
Okay. Wendy, it's similar to some of the things that you do in driving in that it's a 3 or 4 phase sport, and it involves a dressage phase, what's called an ease of handling phase, which is basically like you get to do your dressage around and through and over obstacles. There's a there's a speed phase that is run sometimes over the same obstacle, sometimes the obstacles will be a little bit different or in a different order, but it's just speed and without, of course, knocking any balls down. You're familiar with that. You can have a 4th phase that involves moving livestock.
Oh, that's
so that
exciting.
That is like the coolest. It is. And you can wear any tack, and your attire is basically plain. It's working attire.
Right.
So if you're riding Western, you're in jeans and a shirt with sleeves and a collar. That's simple.
Oh, that's great. And so how did this sport evolve? Where did it start?
It actually started in the Mediterranean region of Europe. Actually, the first one to claim it was Italy. They actually had the first competition. But it's something that's been going on in the bullfighting countries of the world for a long time, sort of how they train some of their bullfighting horses. So that was its actual origin, and it morphed into sort of a celebration of working horses, horses that were used on the farm and in the field and with livestock in all the countries around the world.
And so how did it evolve from that the working phase to what the sport that you have now, and how did it get to the United States?
Oh, boy, how did it evolve into where it got now? Because it's just fun. People wanted to do it.
Right, right.
I mean, the idea of taking some of the classical riding that we have and applying it in an ease of handling, of course, really appealed to people with, that love for dressage, that love for precision. And then the people that really like to go, you know, fast realize that, you know, winning that speed class has a lot to do with the ability in this sport to lengthen and shorten your horse because it has to collect through the obstacles and then it has to extend to the next one.
Right.
Same thing with, you know, people that are coming from the that like to move livestock around.
Right.
You know, they get into it from that end. So we have so many different people, and basically it moves country to country, even into the northern European countries that don't have real cattle working, you know, backgrounds or history, it's because it's just so much fun to do.
So that, of course, begs the question, Jean. When it came to America, so somebody dragged it over here. About when did it get here? When did you start to see working equitation as a sport or discipline here in the United States? 10 years ago? How long has it been around here?
No. Well, there are individuals mostly that were from other countries or that were familiar with Iberian horses and what they did in Portugal, in Spain, and, of course, even in France and Italy. They knew about working equitation, but there was no organization or shows or anything here. So you have some individuals sort of introducing this in their own barns.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, kind of what happened, for some reason, I took up driving. I actually have a dressage background. I was a competitor and a trainer for many years. And unfortunately, I have a medical issue that doesn't allow me to ride anymore. So I took up driving. So
hey,
I'm out there driving.
You're a driver,
running,
huh?
Yes. I'm running through an arena driving trial. And my navigator is a fellow rider, dressage person, and we're running through that, and we're thinking this would be so much fun to do riding. So anyway, long story short, we stumbled across a video on YouTube of working equitation and went, oh my gosh, there it is. So we try to contact the organization in this country that ran working equitation or that was bringing working equitation here, and there wasn't one. So we said, oh, well, I guess that's our job. And that's what we did.
And when did you do that? And maybe I missed that. How long ago was that?
This was 4 years ago that we actually started working on Working Equitation USA, started to educate and promote working equitation in this country.
And
great.
How many shows are there in the country now?
This year we've probably had live competitions. I think there have been 12 to 14 different competitions that were WUSA recognized. Plus there have been probably another half dozen that have been held at breed shows like the Andalusian shows or the Spanish horse shows.
Now, do you well, first of all, anytime you get to dress up in fancy costumes and carry a big stick, it's okay with me. Does it matter on the horses? Do you have to have a Spanish bred horse, or can you go out there with your old quarter horse and do it?
You actually, believe it or not, there at the World Championships last November, the Germans won the bronze medal, and their horse that ended up fifth in dressage was a quarter horse.
Is that right?
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And actually, the horse that won, and I mean, total quarter horse name, like, you know, I'm a Bonanza D something, you know. and, you know, the horse that actually won the individual speed was an Italian horse, but he's an Appaloosa.
Wow.
Yeah. So do you need an Iberian-type horse? No. You do need a horse that can sit. The ability to collect at the higher levels is going to be a must. The really cool thing about the dressage side of this is the horses are judged more on training. The gates have to be pure. They've got to be regular, but that's it. There's, big, giant, fancy gates, what we would consider something that would be, you know, an eight mover in competitive dressage would probably be not beneficial in working equitation.
Mm-hmm.
The obstacles are too close together.
Right. Because you need like a handy horse.
A very handy horse. And one is good at a lot of different things. You know, they're going to be a little bit of jack of all trades. Of course, there will be, you know, phases, just like in eventing, that the horses are much better at than the other ones, and riders also. But overall, they've got to be they just got to have good training, and that's what we're celebrating, is just good training and the ability to do something with that training.
Now, I assume because it's equitation, it's judged, every part of it is judged?
Absolutely. The dressage portion is judged just like a regular dressage test, although it's ridden in a small arena, a 20 by 40, always, all the way to the international level. And that's because normally when you're working in, you know, like if you're having to separate or sort cattle or something like that, you're usually working in a small space. The difference is in the dressage is that the, let's say, the lengthenings, the extensions, they are judged only in comparison with the horse. They're not judged on a standard. Okay. The ease of handling, which is where you sort of do your dressage around obstacles, that part is judged, again, on a 0 to 10 basis. And, again, it's like doing dressage around obstacles. You know, did you have a good transition there before you stopped at the jug to get your drink of water? You know, how straight was your horse in the, you know, in the rain back? Did he fall off the bridge? Because, you know, that means you could have fallen off into the raging torrent river and been dead. So you don't want those things. The speed, again, that's absolutely only on speed. There is a certain amount of accuracy you have to do because there are, like in driving, balls on top of the obstacles. So if you're too much of a hurry and hit a ball, you've got seconds added on to your time.
Now, we're big advocates here at the Horse Radio Network of helmet wearing, and I was looking at some of the videos, and I see people wearing helmets. Is it a requirement with
Absolutely. It is. No matter what outfit you want to wear, if you want to wear your Spanish outfit on your Spanish horse, or you want to dress up in your German working equitation outfit on your Oldenburg, no matter what, you do have to wear a helmet.
Oh, that's good. Congratulations. Thank you for that, by the way.
Hey, Gene, I also see here that you have virtual competitions online. So how does that work? That looks really fun for people that can't get out and about.
Yeah, for people who are maybe in a part of the country that don't have a competition locally, and, of course, you know the price of fuel.
Right.
That can be cost prohibitive. And if you're like me, you simply do not want to unload the horse trailer after the show. You know, I don't mind loading it. I hate unloading the horse trailer.
Me too. Me too.
So, virtual competitions. And best is you get together a bunch of your friends over to your barn. You get them all to help you set up your obstacle course. You get to set up your obstacle course in a way, now that all the obstacles have to be done in a certain order, but you can set them up any way you want. So, you know, if your horse puts his head up a little bit when you're ringing the bell, you know, put it where you're backing up straight toward the judge and the judge can't see the horse's head. So anyway, you're smart. You're showing off how good your horse can do, and you're sort of hiding the things that maybe aren't developed as well yet. So you can do that. You know, invite everybody over, you know, maybe some wine, you know, potluck, whatever, preferably drink the wine after you've finished your test. But you just video, you upload that to horseshow.com, and then it gets judged by a recognized and accredited working equitation judge, and you get, just like in a regular show, you get your test back with all your comments, your score, and you can win money.
Wow. You win money?
You win money. Yeah. I can see your driving horses are going to start being ridden, right?
They all ride. They all ride. No, I was thinking I have one that's kind of retired, and I would love to. This looks like so much fun for us to do together. You know?
It really is. My driving pony, when we first started to do working equitation with him, the girl that was riding him, part of the problem is when you go by to pick up the lance, the little spear thing, he likes to grab it himself.
Oh.
So as you're carrying it, he's grabbing it, and he's a pony, right? So he, You know, he likes to knock the jug down himself or the ball, you know. So, yeah, he's a problem that way because, of course, hitting your horse with the lance is like that. That's very bad. And, of course, if your horse grabs the lance in his teeth and runs around with you, that's, yeah, points off.
Well, this sounds like a lot of fun.
I can't wait to try this.
You can find out more about it at workingequitationusa.com. And that's where workingequitationusa.com. Now, you said you were a driver. What are you driving?
Besides my truck, which I'm much safer in, I drive a Welsh pony stallion. His name is Wilson. And, you know, actually we do great in cones. And, of course, I have 30 years of ridden dressage, so I do terrible in driven dressage.
And Glenn, you'd love Wilson. He has beautiful hair.
Oh, does he?
He has beautiful hair. Yeah. He thinks he's absolutely gorgeous. And he tolerates me as a driver. I have driven over probably every planter in my dressage arena. I start riding him instead of driving him. Therefore, I put him on the rail. Therefore, the cart is, you know, running
over
the
rail. Yeah, you got that little thing where the cart's wider than the horse. You have to keep remembering that part.
I don't. And I make half halts with my seat. And the pony's like, what are you doing, you know? It's like, you're crazy back there. But he tolerates me, and we have a really good time. But, boy, I wish I could ride because I would really love to do more working equitation. I get on and I play. But that's unfortunately all I can do.
But I see also you have an in-hand division. So can you do that?
Absolutely. I can't. That is, well, actually I have. I can sort of run from thing to thing. One of my medical issues is actually my heart doesn't speed up when I exercise.
Oh.
It refuses to speed up, and someday I'll have to have a pacemaker. But anyway, it doesn't. So, unfortunately, you pass out, and that always looks bad.
That does look bad.
Yeah.
I'm sure you get points off for passing out.
Yeah.
You get points off. Yeah, that and, you know, throwing up on your horse, stuff like that. It's just, you know, those are points off. So the in-hand is really fun because it gives you something to do with your young horses. They can compete as yearlings. And so by the time you get to where you get on them and ride them, they are so used to you picking up the lance and knocking things down and running over bridges and all that. They're just like, oh, yeah, whatever. And even if you're not really interested in competing in working equitation. Let's say you have a dressage horse or a driving horse. Then when they get out there in the real world in their chosen sport, they're like, yeah, whatever. But then they're done that. And it just is wonderful for the young horses to do, gets people motivated to get out there and work with them instead of them just, you know, being little juvenile delinquents. And, it's awesome. And, you know, again, if you compete virtually, you can win money.
Well, very good.
I'm so excited. Glenn, we're doing this. We're doing this next week.
All right. Give it a try. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you being on. Again, it's workingequitationusa.com. Check it out. It looks like a lot of fun. And I didn't realize you two knew each other.
Yeah, from the driving
school. Yeah. I didn't realize
that. Well, nobody knows me. Everybody knows my pony.
Yeah, that's true.
They're always like, oh, you're Wilson's mom. Yeah. I don't actually have a name, so that's okay.
Thank you, Jean.
Thank you.
Isn't it funny who you meet doing this show?
I know. Well, you know, that's the thing about this show is that it shows how much we horse people are so interrelated. Because, you know, you don't just do one thing. You have friends that do other things. You have neighbors that do other things. Everybody, the horse world is so small. And that's fun. I like being a part of that. You know, it's a great community.
It really is. Well, let's talk about, speaking of small communities, I got an email the other day from one of our listeners by the name of Dolores, who said, you talk a lot about the flex and fork and the shake and fork. Do you actually own one of them? I'm trying to decide which one would work best for me, and I'm looking for comments. Thank you. Well, I didn't respond to her, but I thought, well, maybe other people. We do run the commercials all the time for Equity Manufacturing at equitymfg.com, And we talk a lot about the Flex and Fork and the Shake and Fork. And the answer to the question is, yes, we do own them. Actually, Jennifer and I own both. We have the Shake and Fork and the Flex and Fork. And most of the hosts on the Horse Radio Network have the Flex and Fork. But I realize why there might be some confusion. The Flex and Fork is the one that does not have the motorized shaking ability. The Shake and Fork actually has a little motor on it and does most of the work for you. And as Jennifer says, they both have a little mini suspension system built in, so you don't get that flicking problem that we have here. When you're cleaning the paddocks, you get this little tiny, itty-bitty little tiny roots that are just at ground level from the live oak trees. And, boy, you get your fork stuck in those. Any other fork would just break. This one's really tough and doesn't do that. But if you're looking for the difference in which one would be best for you, if you're cleaning three or more stalls a day, this is my rule of thumb, not necessarily Equity's, but if you're cleaning three or more stalls a day, you need the Shake and Fork. That will save you time. It saves you bedding. And if you're cleaning 10 to 20 stalls a day, like our friend Aubrey, then you really need the Shake and Fork.
Need the Shake and Fork and a helper.
Well, you don't need the helper. If you're doing 20 a day, you can do it easy with the Shake and Fork because it cuts the time in half, and it'll cut your bedding use in about half, too. So this thing pays for itself very quickly. But now if you're cleaning paddocks or you're cleaning just two stalls a day, then I would say the Flex and Fork would be perfect for you. Like we clean mostly paddocks here, so we use the Flex and Fork. They're a great combination. If you can afford it, get both. They come in handy for different reasons, and you can find them all at equitymfg.com. And if you go over there, and I did tell Dolores that too, if you head over to Equity and you buy one, let them know in the order form there that you heard about it on Horses in the Morning. We really appreciate you doing that too. These are absolutely wonderful. You will love them. You will never, ever go back to a regular old crappy little pitchfork ever again. And he hates when I call them pitchforks, but I'm sorry. I'm from Pennsylvania. That's what we do. They're a pitchfork. I think they were Norforks. I get that. But did you call them? You were from New England. They had to be all pitchforks, weren't they?
I call them pitchforks. I'm pitching stuff with them.
Yeah. See,
it could be manure. It could be hay. It could be straw. It could be something. Dirt.
See, I'm not wrong, man. I think it's just different parts of the country call them different things. Glad to hear I'm not wrong. I'm wrong in almost everything. I'm glad to hear I'm not wrong on that anyway. So,
well, you know what? You can vent about it on your horse husband's page on Facebook.
Hey, speaking of which, thank you for the plug, Wendy. Don't forget that we do have a horse husband's page now started on Facebook. It's a place. It's like a virtual man cave for us horse husbands to go hang out, get a little disgusting. And, it's just our place to hang out. So you can find it by going to Horse Husbands Unite on Facebook. All you horse husbands out there, and I know there's a lot of you that listen to this show. It's a fun little spot. We've been having some fun. We posted the picture, and I did post this on Horses in the Morning, too. Did you see the picture I posted of the girl with her tattoo, Wendy?
No.
Oh, you have to check it out. That is the most elaborate horse tattoo I've ever seen in my life. And all I could think of is how much pain that must have been to get that huge, elaborate tattoo like that. And I'm not really a tattoo guy very much, but this was a beautiful tattoo. It was almost 3D. It's one of the nicest I've seen, actually.
Wow.
But anyway, you can see
that
either at...
for me.
Yeah, you can see that at Horse Husbands Unite. Unfortunately, with this particular picture, it was on her side, and she was wearing a bikini, and she was holding the bikini up, and most of the guys were not commenting on the tattoo. The women were commenting on the tattoo, guys, not so much. But that's why we started our own little page, so we could be crude together. And then you guys wouldn't have to listen to us. So, Horse Husbands Unite. In the meantime, let's do a little music. We'll be right back with our next guest. This is Get Up and Go.
Get up and go. It's time to ride. Get up and go. Get up and go. It's time to ride. Get up. Get up and go. It's time to ride. Get up and go. Ride to live. Live to ride. Get up and put the coffee on. Get up. Go out and feed some hay. Give the horses time to eat. Now scramble up some eggs. Hook up the trailer.
Well, that's Mary Ann Kennedy with Get Up and Go, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show. Jamie is out today. She is off at a show doing her thing this weekend, her first training level test with Jet. So we'll hear all about that, I'm sure, on Monday. That should be exciting because she always has stories to tell.
And, I can't wait to hear about it.
I know. You know there's going to be something that's going to happen. It's going to be dramatic, and it will never have happened to anybody else before, because that's what happens to Jamie. She has that kind of luck. Well, in the meantime, while we're waiting for our next guest, I have a couple stories here for you. One is, do you remember, Wendy, that woman, trying to find her name here? Her name was Crundwell. The woman that actually was accused of stealing the $53 million from the town she worked for as the auditor?
Oh, yeah. You know, some of my clients here in Sarasota know her very well because they show quarter horses.
Oh, is that right? Well, they could buy a couple of her quarter horses starting today. The Marshall Service has an online auction at professionalauction.com. It starts noon today and will close Tuesday for 46 of her horses. She had a total of over 400 horses, but the auction started today. And the live auction will be held for a bunch of the horses September 23rd and 24th. And I believe that is going to be out in Illinois. But you can get a pre-sale here on 46 of the horses at professionalauction.com starting at noon today. Now, she apparently had some nice horses, so I doubt you're going to pick any up for $100.
No, you're not picking them up for $100, and they were all really nice show horses, and she was a big wig on the circuit. But I can't believe she thought she was going to get away with that.
Well, she got away with it for a long time, which was the amazing part. Accused of stealing a total of $53 million, you know, and it was since 1990 working as the comptroller. So she had been doing it so long, they just never noticed because, you know, I'm sure she was very careful to take out the same amount every year, you know, and do that kind of thing so that nothing big would pop up. Well,
but also $53 million. Can you imagine spending $53 million since 1990?
Yeah, she had a nice lifestyle.
I could.
They're still trying to sell. By the way, they're still trying to sell her motorhome, Wendy. She bought it for $2.5 million.
Oh my! Oh, you know what? That's what my clients told me, that she used to roll in to the show with like all the best stuff.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. $2.5 million for a motorhome. Nobody, I wonder why nobody ever thought to say, she works as a controller for a little town in Illinois. Where's she getting all this money? But you just assume that she inherited it or something.
Right, right.
She did. Amazing. From the taxpayers.
Oh, my God.
That's where she inherited it from. Well, our next guest is on the line. Let's say hi to our good friend, Angela Walkup of Horse Girl TV. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. So good to have you back. It's been a while since we talked to you on Horses in the Morning.
I know. I'm not feeling the love from you guys.
Listen to her. She hates coming on because I pick on her all the time, and I always ask her questions she's not ready for, see?
I also enjoy live.
Yeah, you're
Glenn's the king of live. I'm the queen of pre-recorded.
You're the king of editing. She's heavy into editing. But I tell you what, and I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. You are truly the one that started new media in the horse world. You were the first one to really dive into the world of new media. You started a video podcast when nobody even knew how to watch it.
That's true. I tried to explain it to people. It was very difficult back then. Now they tell someone you have a podcast or a web series, and they're like, oh, yeah, my dog has a web series also.
Now, was YouTube even around when you started, or was that pre-YouTube?
YouTube was around. It was still pretty new, and they didn't even – I think the max you could upload for episode was maybe 5 minutes at that time, and then they expanded it to 10, and then I think now it's 15, and you can even do HD. So
yeah, you know what?
Back in the early stages.
You know what was real big back then was MySpace was still in back then.
Yes.
MySpace.
Facebook for sure.
Glenn.
It was. MySpace was still a big thing back then. That was before YouTube and Facebook put MySpace out of business.
No, MySpace was on the main horsegirltv.com site. Like it was our MySpace page and our YouTube channel. And I think those were like the two main, you know, other go-to options that you had back in that day.
You know what that means, Angela? That means we're just both old. That's what that means.
Oh, don't even go there. I know I've been on your show before, and I've never done this, but I was wondering if I could give a shout-out to somebody.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, let me give you the Daily Winnie. Let's play the music. Here we go.
Oh, gosh.
Go.
I would just want to send a big hello to all the guys and gals in Kilo Company at SOI and MTP here in Eastern North Carolina. Thank you guys for your service and for all that you do. And hi to my husband, Joel.
And I was going to say, where your husband, Joel, works?
Yeah, that's where he works right now. So they just got done with a 15K hike this morning, so I'm sure they're all pretty exhausted.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, we did, too. We did that before the show this morning, didn't we, Wendy?
Yeah.
That's probably part of your daily routine, right, guys?
Oh, yeah, right. Every morning. Every morning I dream about hiking 15K right before I get out of bed. Well,
I always do some push-up after the 15K hike also.
Oh, you guys are terrible. They're listening in, you know.
Well, Angela, tell us how we can get more in shape. Look at that transition.
Oh, I didn't even think that was brilliant. I should have thought of that. Actually, I had no idea. That was a great segue, Glenn. Thank you. We have produced a fitness CD called Ecuador. And you take the ballet bar workout, and, you know, we all know ballerinas are long, long muscled and slender and flexible and just beautiful to look at moving around and incredibly graceful. So the idea was to take the ballet bar type workout, something that's non-impact or very, very low impact, and transition that into equestrian sports, which is deeply in core strength. So...
And what's it called again? You were breaking up a little bit there, Angela. What's it called again?
It's called Equibar, like equine and bar, but Equibar.
Okay.
But it's EQUI, Equa, BARRE, because the bar for ballet bar has two R's in it and an E.
Okay, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Do I have to wear ballet slippers to do this?
And tight.
And tight. I see this as a whole new, we could both go on Stephen Colbert together and wear the tiara as well.
Oh, if you can wear a tiara, I'm all about this kind of exercise. This is sounding great.
No, I posted some I posted a couple pictures on you guys' Facebook page this morning, so you'd have the opportunity to kind of see clips from the workouts that we shot. So it won't give you an idea as to the exercises, but you can definitely see kind of the setup. And you can do it at your stable on a jump standard or on a mounting block or whatever, but you can also do it in your house, in your kitchen, at the standing at the bar, or just with a chair. So you don't need any equipment to do it, really, just something that's about waist high or wherever you're comfortable resting your hand.
Does it actually involve physical exercise? Because that's where I start to have a problem.
I know. I think you're going to have to draw the line with this one, Glenn, because it does involve actual exercise. Watching the video, because I was watching it, because I'm very familiar with everything now since we've been editing for like 6 months on this thing. I was watching it, and I'm going, that doesn't look hard. But then I remember it, and I'm like, doing it, and I'm like, this is, I do these kind of workouts, and I'm like, this isn't hard. It's just the repetition of the motion that that's what gets you.
And are there pretty girls on the video like you? Because then I'd watch it. Then I would probably have some motivation to watch it anyway.
You could pop a bag of popcorn and pop the DVD in, and you could watch it. It's actually myself and a very dear friend of mine. We shot at her lovely facility in Southern Oregon, and she's actually riding in the background, and so that's quite nice as we do some little fun interplay with the workout for the human as well as the workout for the horse, relating the warm-up and the conditioning working out part and the cool down to how you would actually train your horse. So there's some parallels there.
Well, in all seriousness, though, I do know that yoga especially has become very popular with riders more in the last year or two than I've ever heard about before.
Yeah, yoga and Pilates are huge. And I think the ballet bar workouts are going to grow in popularity as well, because they encompass a lot of the yoga core strength, stretching kind of exercises in it, as well as some of the Pilates, of course, extreme core strength challenges, just without needing the additional equipment to do it. But yeah, yoga's huge, and I love yoga.
And the strength training in the core is so important for your riding. So, and that's hard. I know I hate to do ab workouts, so this sounds like a fun way to get my core strength.
Well, and that's the thing, is it's an ab workout without the, oh my gosh, I don't want to do sit-ups sort of thing, because I am not a fan of sit-ups myself. I'm not a fan of, setting aside time, because we all have busy schedules, but this is something, like even just when you go out right before you get on, you could do a couple of the exercises that you learned from the DVD, just like basic stretching things. And I would kind of challenge people. Maybe this is something that we should do for the launch. I would challenge people to do a couple of them consistently for maybe 1 month and see if their riding improves. Because it's simple that we just need to add 5, 10, 15 minutes to our day to do. And if you take your riding seriously, which as a horse person, we all take our riding or our driving or whatever we do very seriously. So maybe that's a new thing. Maybe it brings from a challenge for people.
Well, what, Angela, when will it be out?
We're doing the launch at Equibar in Massachusetts in November. It's a big deal. One of our key sponsors and awesome people are Absorbing, and they were really crucial in making Equibar happen. And so it happens to be, it's kind of perfect, it happens to be their 150th anniversary this year. And so we're all going to meet up at Equibar and have a big party also with their other main sponsors, sponsored riders, Tommy Turvey and Miss Rodeo America. And so we'll do an autograph signing and some DVD giveaways and things like that at Equibar.
And will this be can people pre-order it at this point, like for Christmas gifts and stuff?
Yeah, I'm actually in like the next week or so. I'm trying to get the pre-orders rolling, and when I started Horse Girl TV, the idea was to bring the mainstream production quality to the horse world. And so it's kind of the same thing with Equibar. There's some wonderful, wonderful fitness DVDs out there built for equestrians already. We wanted to kind of bring to the market a really incredibly well-produced fitness DVD, kind of, Horse Girl TV quality stuff, but also bring the mainstream pricing to it as well. I don't know how we're going to end up pricing it, but it's probably going to be just walking into the store and buying a regular old fitness DVD off the shelf at like your $19.95 price, not something where, everything in the horse world, we put an equine label on it and it already tripled the price. So I wanted to make it affordable too. So we're going to try to do pre-sales here in maybe like the next week.
Okay.
But
well, let us know.
I wanted to have it ready for you. Yeah, I wanted to have it ready for you guys today so I could say, yeah, they can go here. But we actually don't have it up yet.
Okay, well, when you do, just let us know. We'll post it on our Facebook page. And Wendy, see, that's the difference between Angela and us. She tries to make quality products, and spends a lot of time on them. And we just show up and talk. I mean, we don't care.
We're just bring it. But, Glenn, people love you. People love you.
Yeah.
I remember when we first actually met in person at WEG a few years ago. We talked for ages, like since 2006 or 2007. And I hear this voice, and I'm like, oh, it's Glenn. I have to go meet him in person now.
Whether you like it or not. Well, tell us.
People see me, and they shout out, Horse Girl TV. And all you got to do is hear your distinct, just charming, built-for-radio, just amazing voice. And they're like, oh, my gosh, it's Glenn.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Angela. But she's buttering me up or something. I don't know what.
I know. She must have been going to hit you up for money or something later.
Tell us about your neat new horse.
Well, he's not new. It's kind of been a long time coming, or I guess it seems like ages because it's just been an uphill road the whole way. But you want the short version, the condensed
Reader's
Digest
version? Yeah, Reader's Digest. Yep.
Reader's Digest, I can totally do. The short version is I imported him as an unbroke 4-year-old to just resell. This is a simple resale project. And fortunately, no one that came to try him could ride him. And so as fate would have it, over the last couple of years, he's been, I've broken him in and built him up, and we've had headbutting experiences that I never fathomed were possible. And we're finally coming to terms, and he's super cuddly, lovey on the ground, and has turned out to be actually like a brilliant moving, super, super talented horse, like the best horse I've ever had. And so I want to get him confirmed through I1, which I'm kind of hoping will be happening in like the next 6 months, and then see if we can maybe represent the country at some point, perhaps in the Pan Am Games or something like that someday. That's kind of a dream that I've had for ages now.
Well, that's terrific. Well, we wish you the best of luck. I know, it's a tough road to hoe when you're trying to, do your real job, which is Horse Girl TV and all the production and everything you're doing over there, as well as still training a horse and competing full time. And it just takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of time. But I know you can do it.
Well, but the thing is, if you really want it, anybody can make it happen. And that's kind of the thing that I stress to the kids or young adults or even empty nester moms that watch the show, is just believe in yourself. I mean, it sounds so trite, but it's so true. If you really want it, you're going to make it happen.
So what's the latest video over at Horse Girl TV?
Oh, gosh, I'm about to launch. I got to interview Margie Engel when I was in Wellington. And you guys, of course, everybody
Margie's
knows
my
that
favorite.
Name. She's amazing, and she was so charming. She welcomed us to her stable, and she was, because she has this crazy busy schedule, trying to get her even on the books was amazing. And so it was really fun, and I just assume, you assume when someone's really successful that they've kind of had it all handed to them, because it is so hard in the horse world to have that perfect storm of that perfect horse and rider combination, and it does take a significant amount of time to get there. But I had no idea. She just, she started as a writer. Her parents weren't writers. She just had this passion for it, and she, the way she talks about it is just really inspiring, that she just kind of went for it with her life, and that was really cool. And that was the best impact for her. She's done. She's been around a lot for a long time and gotten back in the saddle after some serious accidents.
And I love that she's so little and drive and rides those big giant horses and makes them jump. Well, like when Margie sees her spot, you can see that she sees her spot and they're going.
Yeah, and she's so teeny weeny. I had no idea that she was that small. And she got out of her car, and I'm like, wow, you're really short. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's just a terrible way to introduce yourself to someone. And I was like, that is amazing that you can, like, you know, get those horses around those giant, grumpy, you know.
Yeah, because she doesn't have much leg, you know.
She doesn't have much leg. And so it's really about feel and finesse, I guess, that she does what she does, which is, you know, very inspiring to a smaller person as well, you know.
She's almost jockey size. First time I met her, too, I was like, holy cow. She's
But
a lot
of the will of a lion. She's, like, the best.
I
love
her.
So.
Definitely.
And
her
husband is also a vet and chiropractor who has been one of my mentors, actually. Her husband's fantastic, Steve Engel.
I've heard amazing things about him. I actually heard that he's, like, one of the best chiropractors in the world.
Yep, he is, for sure. Yep.
Well, Angela, thank you so much.
On the 15th.
Thank you so much for joining us. That'll be coming out on the 15th at Horse Girl TV. We appreciate you being here, and we'll have you back again when the orders are starting for the DVD.
Yay! Thank you guys for having me on, and have a good morning.
And I'll give it a review. We'll review it after it comes out, and I'll have Wendy do the actual workout, and I'll give it a review as far as aesthetics are concerned.
Wonderful. I would love that. Thank you, guys.
All right. See you, Angela.
Bye-bye.
You know why Angela comes on this show? I don't know, because I pick on her the whole time, but she's such a good sport.
Because she's your hugest fan. Didn't you hear her? That's why she comes on.
We've known each other
for a very long time. Oh, my God. Glenn wants to talk to me. I'm going to go on the show. She loves you, Glenn. That's great.
Yeah, right.
We don't have many fans here on the Horse Radio Network.
That's true.
So we have to, like, coddle everyone we have.
To take the ones we can get.
Yeah, we have to be nice to them. We can't lose them. You should send her flowers or something.
Okay, I'll do that. Hey, War Horse is going to end on here in early 2013. If you haven't seen War Horse, you better get up to New York and see it. If you want to see it on Broadway, because it's going to stop in January 6th is the last day. It's kind of sad.
Oh, it is kind of sad. Hey, we're going to have to go to New York on a trip. You're going to have to take us on a business trip.
Well, you know what, though? There's a touring company that started in June out in, I think, California, and is making the rounds. I don't know if it's coming to Florida. We're going to have to check that and check the schedule. I know it's going all over the country, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's coming to Tampa in late April, early May, 2013.
Okay. Terrific. Well, check out that
schedule. I was just trying to get a trip out of you to go to New York.
Well, we're going to have to
obviously, you didn't fall for it.
Maybe what we'll do, yeah, I noticed that. Maybe what we'll do, I talked right past it if you didn't know. Maybe what we'll do is we'll announce the time we're going to go to the Tampa show, and we'll kind of invite the listeners and whoever wants to go along, and maybe we can go out and get a bite to eat first and then all go to the show. That'd be fun.
That'd be really fun. That'd be great.
And one other thing, we don't talk about quarter horse racing a whole lot. But there's a quarter horse a three-year-old by the name of Ocho, O-C-H-O-A, which I think is pronounced Ocho, isn't it?
Ocho, yeah, that's eight. Isn't that eight in Spanish?
I kind of think it is. But Ocho has just become the breed's all-time winning earner. As of Sunday's All-American Derby, Ocho dominated the 440-yard race. The race, get this, was worth $2.2 million.
Oh,
it set a record as the richest quarter horse purse of any race for a three-year-old or older. And this particular horse, Ocho, won $950,000 to bring its total earnings to $2.5 million, becoming the winningest three-year-old quarter horse in history. So,
amazing.
Yeah, that is. And have you ever gotten to see quarter horse racing in person?
I have never seen it in person. I've seen it on TV. But it's so fast and it's straight. It's just straight.
Yeah, it's like a 100-yard dash for horses. And Jennifer and I got to see it at the Red Mile in Lexington. And it was exciting, but you don't get much time to root. You know how?
No, we don't.
In a regular race, you can cheer your horse on. Well, here it's like a greyhound race. You know, before you know it, it's over, and you're trying to figure out if your horse won. You know,
right.
But it is thrilling. It's a lot of fun to watch. So, congratulations to Ocho's people. I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot more of that particular horse coming down the pike as a 4 and 5 year old as well. Well, that'll wrap up today's show. Thank you so much to all of our guests for being here. We learned a lot today, didn't we?
Yeah, I learned a ton, and actually, I'm totally excited about everything we talked about. I'm going to do all of those things.
Yeah, you're probably, you and Jennifer are going to be out there doing working equitation. She's going to have Beaker out there, and she'll have her big stick. Jennifer's not real coordinated, and I'm kind of concerned about the big stick and riding all at the same time, Jennifer. I've got to say, I'm being honest here. Just being honest.
Look, you guys like medieval reenactments. She has to learn to ride with a lance if she wants to really push that forward.
That's true. That is very true. And don't forget that Wendy and I do a show every week called The Driving Radio Show. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of listeners on that show that don't drive, that just tune in because they like hearing us babble about stuff. And Wendy does Chinese medicine updates, where she gives us little medical things every week or every other week. So tune into that show. You just go to Horse Radio Network to find it. And thank you so much, Wendy, for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you, Glenn. It was really great to be here. And thanks, Jennifer. I had a great time, and it's always fun to come on the Horse in the Morning show.
And don't forget, we'll have Janie back to tell her war stories from the weekend on Monday morning. Thanks, everybody. Wear your helmets. Be safe this weekend. Get a ride in. And what do we usually say in the driving show?
Keep the shiny side up. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Bye.